Hello, dear friends. You're welcome to a new episode on this English podcast. Today is Thursday, April 25th, 2024, and this is your regular host, Teacher D, sitting in from our studios in Shanghai. Today's episode is going to be episode number 199. So if this is the first time for you to listen to this podcast, you have about 198 episodes of this podcast to listen to. So you're welcome on board. And today we're going to continue with our ongoing series, which is a discussion concerning the newly published English books that I wrote. So in the previous episode, we were talking about the most popular of the three books. That's Foundation English Vocabulary Workbook. I discussed some of the highlights of that book. And like I mentioned in that episode, a lot of people prefer to buy that first. And it makes sense because it's about vocabulary in general. Even English teachers, I have a few colleagues who have actually bought the vocabulary book, and they find the book quite useful in teaching vocabulary because most of the topics that you find in English textbooks in schools are discussed in the book. So that makes sense why it is the most popular of the three books. But in today's episode, we're going to be looking at the second book, which is IELTS Speaking Test Guide. So this book is for students who are preparing for IELTS, the International English Language Testing System. This is a test that most students have to take in order to prove their English language proficiency. Students who come from countries that do not have English as a first language, countries like China, most Asian countries, African countries, and European countries, most of those countries, South American countries, where English is not the first language. Students who want to leave those countries and pursue their studies in countries like America, Canada, England, Ireland, Australia, New Zealand, for you to get admission into universities in these countries, you have to prove your English language proficiency. And one way to do that is to present your scores from the IELTS. So this test is one of the most popular standardized English test in the world. You have other tests like TOEFL. TOEFL is usually, you have TOEFL scores accepted in many American universities. Most American universities, they accept TOEFL scores. But IELTS is actually the most popular in the whole world. And so one of the reasons why I decided to write a book for students preparing for IELTS is that I've been preparing students for this test for a really long time, and I have prepared students from various language backgrounds. I've prepared Chinese speaking students, Korean speaking students. There were some Russian students that I prepared too for the test, and then French speaking students. I also prepared them for the test. So all these speakers of other languages that have to take the IELTS test, many of them approach the test in different ways, with different difficulties, different challenges. Because when you learn a foreign language, usually your own first language affects the way you learn that foreign language. And in this case, the foreign language we're talking about is English. So if you're a Chinese language speaker and you want to learn English, you find out that the fact that Chinese language is your first language, is your mother tongue, will affect the way you learn English. Probably your pronunciation will be impacted, your sentence structure will be affected, and these are not the same problems someone from Korea will face. Korean students have their own problems that also come from their first language, which is Korean. I remember when I was teaching Korean students in Beijing, there was an interesting example. In Korean language, they usually place the object in a sentence before the verb, which is something very rare in English. For example, in Korean language, they say "sangsaenim imida," which means "teacher I am." If you translate it in that order, it will mean in English "teacher I am." And in English, what you really want to say is "I am a teacher." So you will have a lot of Korean students saying "teacher I am" or "rice I eat." Yeah, I used to have my primary school students say that. They would say "teacher, rice I eat." You have to understand that what they want to say is "I am eating rice" or "I have eaten rice." So this is just an example to show that when your mother tongue is not English, when you get to learn English, you will find your mother tongue affecting the way you learn English, affecting certain structures. Could be in writing, could be in speaking, could be in pronunciation, or even the way you understand vocabulary. So I've had that experience because I have prepared many students with different language backgrounds for this test. So all that experience, I decided to put everything into a book. That is why, that's how I got inspired to write this book. And so the Speaking Test Guide is a book that prepares you to go into the test room fully prepared, you know, to answer all kinds of questions that the examiner is very likely to ask you. So when I wrote this book, I had in mind, first kind of candidates that I had in mind were candidates aiming at normal scores like band 6. You know, many universities across the world would accept candidates who can present 6 in IELTS, an overall score of 6. So I decided to use that as my standard to try to get students who use this book should be able to get at least six in speaking. Now, the thing with IELTS is that candidates have different goals. You could have a candidate who is aiming at 8. I had one such candidate just a few years ago. She was going to one of the top universities in America, and their requirements are really high. So she was aiming at 8. She wanted to get like 8 in speaking. So usually that kind of student will need extra work, will need to go the extra mile, learn more sophisticated vocabulary and more complex sentence structures, and learn different ways of expressing certain ideas, you know. So, but these are not the kind of students, these are not the kind of candidates you find every day. And in my experience as a teacher, I also found out that a student who is aiming at 6, if you want to push this student and force this student to learn a lot of complex structures, in hoping that you can get them to score very high, like an 8, you sometimes realize that you're getting the student to make more mistakes. So it's sometimes it causes more harm than good. So I have realized that there are certain students who have a certain level of language, and you have to focus on polishing that level that they have. And it helps them more than pushing them to go for a score that they really cannot get for that moment. And in the process of doing that, you teach them so many difficult words, so many difficult expressions, and in their attempt to use those difficult words and those difficult expressions, they make more and more mistakes. And the examiner will look at that as a misuse of language, and in the final analysis, their scores may even be lower than what they expected. So this book is useful for every candidate preparing for IELTS. Whether you are doing it for the first time or you are a candidate repeating the test. I know some students who have taken the test 5 times, and they see that each time you take the test, you may be familiar with the format, but each time you take the test, you have a different examiner, and the experience is slightly different, because a different examiner may have a different accent, may speak faster or slower, and the questions, of course, will be different. Usually, questions are different. The theme of the questions may be the same, but the way the questions are asked, they do everything to prevent a situation where students memorize answers or students anticipate questions and then prepare and memorize answers for those questions. So one of the things that I stressed a lot, I really emphasized the fact that students shouldn't be trained on memorizing answers. That's one of the key things you find in this book. If you train students to memorize answers to questions, sooner or later, the students will find out it's not very useful, because during the test, an examiner can tell whether you are speaking naturally from your English ability, or you are memorizing an answer that you got from a textbook. So many of the textbooks I have seen on IELTS speaking or IELTS writing, they have a lot of model answers. So in as much as model answers can be useful, because they can tell the student what the examiner expects, they can tell the student how an answer should look like, in as much as that can be useful, I do not encourage my students to memorize such answers from textbooks. So in my book, what I do is I give a lot of answer hints. Instead of giving a model answer, I give answer hints to questions. So, for example, if you have a question like, what's your favorite food? I try to give hints, the kind of options you should consider in your answer. And those hints are carefully chosen, because I'm trying to guide the student to see that talking about this kind of food is probably easier for you. Do not choose a kind of food that will be very complicated for you to talk about, and that will lead you into trouble, not using the right vocabulary, not knowing how to name something in English, and then you get you make more mistakes and you get lower scores. So this technique of providing answer hints to students is a technique that I use in classroom when I prepare my students. Sometimes I ask them a question, and then I give them some clues. I just give them a few hints. For example, if I say, talk about your family. Tell me about your family. Many students, although the question is not difficult, the question, they understand the question clearly, but they're still thinking, what exactly am I supposed to say about my family? So the hints here, you will say, how many people are there in your family? What do they do? Are you the first or the second child? Are you an only child? You know, you throw this hint, and then the student is able to put ideas together and then form an answer. So that's the approach you will find in this book for those who already have copies and those who are planning to buy copies of this book. You will see that most of the questions, whether it's in part one speaking, in part two speaking, or part three speaking, you will find answer hints. And in some cases, you have vocabulary that is provided, the kind of vocabulary that you're supposed to use to answer specific questions. And I think this is also very important because in grading the speaking test, you have something called lexical resource. Your lexical resource is the kind of words, the range of words that you have and that you can use in talking about a topic. And a lot of students are lacking in this aspect. And like I mentioned before, if you have the vocabulary foundation workbook, the foundation vocabulary workbook, that is what that book really focuses on. It gives you a broad base of vocabulary that you can use to answer any question. So when we now come to the test, when you get to specific questions, for a student who has a good foundation in vocabulary, it's very easy for you to have the necessary lexical resource to answer a question. So in the speaking test guide, we also provide a lot of vocabulary that is specific to certain questions that are asked. And you'll find that in the book, you have a lot of sample questions. And sample questions, I make it very clear in the book that these sample questions are not in any way an anticipation for the questions that will be asked. I tell my students, you never go to the test thinking that the questions that you discussed with your teacher in class are going to be the same questions you will find in the test. Questions hardly repeat themselves. And when they do repeat themselves, you're not obliged to give exactly the same answers, you know. So the same question can have many answers. And I also tell my students, an answer is not usually wrong. In the speaking test, don't worry about the wrong answer, because what they're listening to, they're not actually judging your facts. They are actually judging the way you present those facts in English. This is something very important. A lot of students are worried about answering these questions in the speaking test because they're thinking, is the answer right or wrong? You know, in most of the cases, the answer is not really wrong. It's just the way you put it, especially opinion questions in part three speaking. In part three speaking, you have opinion questions like, what do you think? What do you think? How do you think a problem can be solved? What do you suggest can be a solution to such and such a thing? And those kind of answers, you don't have right or wrong answers. It's the way you present your points and the way you back them up, the way you explain them. That's what your grades are based on. So I tell them not to worry so much about their opinions, whether the opinion is right or wrong. So in this test, you will find about, in this book, you will find about 370 sample questions and answer hints. So these are carefully selected sample questions touching on a lot of topic, a wide variety of topics. And for each question, like I mentioned earlier, you have some answer hints. So for a student who is not fast in thinking, there are some students, they may get low scores in the test, not really because their English is bad, but it's because they don't have enough thinking time And this is one of the things I usually criticize about the IELTS test. I say a lot of students could get better scores if they had enough time to really think about the questions. The speaking test takes about 11 to 14 minutes. The whole test takes about 11 to 14 minutes. And during those few minutes, the student is expected to answer a whole lot of questions. And for students learning English as a second language, some of them even learning English as a third language, I have a student here who speaks two languages, Chinese and Korean, and is now learning English as a third language. So for such students, they really need more time to process the questions and then put the vocabulary together to express whatever ideas they have. And so sometimes I really think the speaking time is too short for them. And the examiner, of course, is there and respects the time. The examiner has a quota, a number of students to handle, to test before the day goes over. And so that examiner will do everything to make sure your 11 minutes are used up and you've gone through the three sections of the test and so on. But just when the examiner says, let's move on to the next question, is usually when the candidate is just about to, you know, to provide an answer. Maybe the candidate has just been spending more time to put together ideas, the vocabulary, the sentence structure, the right expressions. And by the time they're ready to express themselves, that's when the examiner is about to move on to the next section of the test or the next question. So timing is a crucial aspect of the test. And that is discussed in this book as well. There is a breakdown on how the students can learn how to manage their time. I tell them how the time is going to affect their scores if they don't manage it well. And then we try to see and what's the average number of questions you're expected to answer in part one of the speaking test. And then how much time are you supposed to spend? How long should your answer be? Is it an answer that is too long in such a way that the examiner has to interrupt you and move on? Or is it an answer that is too short, like a one-word answer, which the examiner is going to judge as not good enough, not explanatory enough? So we discuss all these kind of technical things to prepare the student for the test in this book. So all the questions, the sample questions and answer hints are all intended to put the student in that examination context to be able to picture a question and use the answer hints given to tackle that question and see whether they can provide an appropriate answer within a time frame. You will have things like idioms, an extensive list of idioms, and those idioms are expected to help the student boost their vocabulary. And then you have general knowledge discussion topics, because in part three, for example, the student is really expected to have some knowledge of things happening in the society, things that are in the news, current events, and so on. So there is a section of the book that provides about 100 general knowledge discussion topics. Students should be able to talk about things like global warming, things like environmental degradation, things like recycling, climate change, and this kind of things that you find in the news. Students should be able to express their own opinions on these things. And that's really what makes part three of the speaking test sometimes quite challenging to candidates. So you will find these kind of things in the book. You will find keywords and sample sentences. There's even a section where we give sample sentences, because there are some students who really have problems with good sentence structure, like to be able to express ideas clearly in a fluent manner. So we actually provide some sentences, and this is quite helpful for students who are aiming at higher scores. If you want to get something like 7 or 8 in the speaking test, you really need you need to bump up your vocabulary, your sentence structure, the kind of idioms that you use, and so on. So we also try to provide something like that, so that if a candidate is aiming to get high scores in the speaking test, they shouldn't find this book too basic for them. So the book kind of covers students who just want ordinary scores, like 5 or 6, and at the same time, a student aiming high will also find a lot of useful material in the book. So it's a book that I really recommend. I always say that students who decide to take IELTS and they have just about 2 months ahead of them before the test date, I don't recommend that. And I tell many parents who come to me, I always tell them it is good to make that decision about 6 months in advance, at least 6 months in advance. You can decide that your child will take the IELTS maybe next year, so that the child has time to develop this proficiency that will be proven in the test. Because language is learning a language and improving a language level, it takes time. It's not like math. It's not very scientific. It's not like physics. It's not like chemistry. It's not like those kind of subjects where you can just memorize the formula and boom, your level changes. In English, like any other language, it takes time for you to gradually absorb certain vocabulary, and then you, even when you learn these new words and expressions, it takes time for them to become part of your vocabulary and to become part of your language in such a way that when you speak, these words and expressions come up, you know, they just come up without you having to think about them. So most of the words that students learn, most of the expressions and the grammar structures that they learn, when it comes to speaking, it's still very hard for them to use these structures because they've not had enough time to digest them, practice using them. So one big advice I give to students and to people who are going to buy this book, and I say, give yourself enough time to read the book, practice some of the structures provided, sample questions, get a study partner, somebody who can do the practice with you, time yourself, and if you do this over at least a period of 6 months, then you will be ready for the test. So I don't want students to think that, oh, this book is the magic formula to getting a high score in IELTS. It's not like if you buy this book 1 month to the test, you're going to get the top score in the test. No. I would be lying if I told you that. And there is no book out there that can turn things around in a few weeks for you to get the top score in any test, not only IELTS. It takes time for you to get the concepts, practice them, and then gradually your level improves to what you want. So that's my final advice. Buy the book. Schedule your test about 6 months away and start reading and practicing what you find in the book gradually before your test date. With that, we come to the end of this podcast. This episode was pretty long, but I think it was worth explaining to you what you should expect to find in the book. I don't want to just sell a book. There's a saying in English, you're selling a chicken in the bag. So what I'm actually doing is trying to tell you what you will find in the book so that you make the decision to buy the book knowing fully what you're going to find in the book. For all of you preparing for the IELTS test, I wish you the best. And your questions are welcome. You know how to send questions to me. My email is f-writers@hotmail.com. This is your regular host, Teacher D, signing off. And I'll see you in the next episode. And for those of you preparing for the upcoming May holiday, have an exciting holiday.